Two words, right? And Peter. Woo. Man, that was good. That was good. I can't. We won't get to our message, but praise the Lord. That was already preached, but that was good. It was really good. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. We're going to read the first one, two, six verses. Let's all stand for reading. I don't know. We'll read verses 17 through 22, and we'll pray, and then we'll get into this morning's message. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus beholding him, pay attention to verse 21, this will be our text verse. Then Jesus beholding him loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." We read these sad words. He was sad at that saying. Went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word and hear it preached here. God, it is truly a blessing that I am guilty of taking for granted. I'm just so accustomed to it. Thank you for the liberties. Thank you for the freedoms. Lord, help us to take every opportunity that we can to share the gospel. Lord, thank you for our church and the people that are here. Just such an affection of my heart. Lord, I pray you bless the preaching now. And Lord, meet with us here. We need you. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, use this time now to meet the needs that are here before us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 10. There's a bunch of preached messages out of this passage before. A lot of times we focus in on the rich young ruler. Here comes a young man, as we're told, that has possessions. And he comes to Christ. Can you turn me down just a little bit? I hear, anybody hear a ringing? All right, sounds good. Can you turn me down a little? All right. And he comes to the Lord with, he's got a great question, and we're not going to focus in on the ruler today. We're going to focus in on Christ. Verse 21. We know the young man, and we know about him. We know that he's got at least the desire to come to Christ. But that's not enough, is it? If we desire to come to Christ, no, there'll come a day when we have to make a decision for Christ. Maybe all your life you've considered yourself, well, I'm a good person. I've done good things. I've helped people. I've been a blessing. You know, I'm so thankful for the Sutliffs. And, you know, we tried to help our grandchildren. I've done this or I've done that or I've gone here and I've done... I've tried to be good. I've tried to come to God. But there comes a day when you're going to have to make a decision for Christ about your sin. Happens to everybody. And this young man, he comes to the Lord and he comes running. I love his excitement about coming to Christ. The best way to get to Christ is just to run to him. But Jesus has a real interaction with him. He goes through and he lists some commandments. He says, he gives us the list, and the young man says, I've done that. I don't know, Brother Rice, I've not met too many people that could say, I've done those things. I love verse 21. The Bible says, and Jesus beholding him, next two words, what does it say? Loved him. And he's going to say some hard things. Sometimes, God tells us things that are hard, but he tells them because he loves us. And he's about to say some things that are hard to him, hard pill to swallow. He didn't say, man, I am so impressed with your ability to keep the law. He didn't do that. He didn't say, well, I'm going to put you at the top. It's going to be Peter, James, and the rich young ruler. He didn't say that. He said, all right, let's get honest for a second. And we look at our life and go, look at all these great things I've done for the Lord. Look at all this stuff I've done. And we fail to take into account things on this side. He says, I've not committed adultery. I've not murdered anybody. I've not bared false witness. Stolen nothing. I've honored my father and mother. He's quite the young man if he can do these things. I dare say that maybe he has inflated himself a little bit in the eyes of God. And you know what? That's how we sometimes live our life. Lord, I come to church. I do all these things. As we heard, I give cheerfully. I teach Sunday school. And, look at all these things. And God says, yeah, but I want to discuss some stuff over here. No. Back over here. Let's talk about the good things I'm doing. And God says, no. Let's go over here. See, I love you. I love you and I want you to go further. But I'm a good dad. I'm a good mom. I provide. The cars are running. The house is warm. There's presents under the tree. Let's come talk about this, though. Why don't you want to talk? Because I love you. I love you. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You know, it's no different in your life today. God looks at you and he says, I love you. Let's have a talk. Kids sometimes get a little nervous. Maybe I'll call one into the other room and, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Sure, Dad, what's up? Let's go into the TV room. Am I in trouble? No, let's talk for a second. And inevitably, a sibling comes along. Hey, let's see what's going on. And I'll say, why don't you head on out and close the door? Sweetheart, son, there's some things I see in your life that you got to fix. There's some areas that I'm worried about with you. And I'm telling you this not because I hate you, but because I love you. Christ, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. I like how he says one thing thou lackest, and then he tells him six things. Sounds like a good preacher. One last point. Just one last verse. This. Please remember that Christ is working in the best interest of him. Please remember in your life, Christ is working in the best interest of you. So what does he tell him? Well, he tells him, number one, to go. He says, go thy way. See, there is a... some of you would testify, there's my way and there's God's way, and a lot of times those do not coincide, right? The way that you want to go and the way that God wants to go are usually polar opposites. We heard from a missionary this morning, wanted to be a farmer and a professional athlete. And where does he find himself? On the northern side of Italy, southern to Austria, ministry. My plan was to go here. God's plan was to go here. I don't know where it came from, but we're here this morning, and there was a baseball card on the platform. Mr. Nolan Ryan. Isn't that great? Man, he played baseball for a long time. Many young people tried to do that. Tried to throw a ball 100 miles an hour, and this is my plan for life. Go thy way. You understand that there's a difference between your way and God's way. It would be really good if at that moment, when he said, go thy way, and he says, no, I'm tired of going my way. That's why I'm here. I'm tired of trying to live for myself. I've done all these things. I'm here because I need you. That's not what he said. No, that's not how that goes. This looks to be a real test for this young man. He could have accomplished much if he would have just stayed. Maybe there was a time in your life when you walked out of the church doors and said, I'm not going back. I'm going to go do it my way. And oh, I promise you that did not go good for you. What you dealt with and what you fought with each and every day, each and every moment, there is no comparison to the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. The problem was that this young man did have his own way. And our problem is the same thing, that we do have our own way. I got a plan. I deal with a lot of young people, and some have plans, some don't. But they're trying. They're trying hard. They're trying to figure out what is it that God wants us to do? What is it that God wants me to do? And in all honesty, they are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, to which I am thankful. Is there no better place to put your life than in the hands of God? God, I don't want my way. Young person, I'm here to tell you this morning, you do not want your way. You want to go God's way. Haggai 1:5 says this, consider your ways. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what should I do? Acknowledge Him. And what will He do for me? Direct my paths. How do you get a family of four from Wisconsin dairy farmers to the northern side of Italy? It was just a young man that said, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Go. Go where? Wherever He leads you. I had the blessing of being at a fundraiser last night for Cam and Dave. They're trying to build villages in Zambia. Tremendous. It was a blessing to be part of it. Ran into an old high school friend. Junior high, actually. We grew up about 3 blocks away from each other. And got a chance to talk to him a little bit. Haven't probably talked to him in about 20 years. He's like, man, Nick, how long's it been? I said, well, I don't know. Time flies. I graduated over 20 years ago. But it was before that. So what are you doing? What's going on? He's like, I got 3 kids. I got a son that's 19 or 20, I think you said, and 16 and 13. His daughter, every year, works and saves up money and goes to El Salvador for as long as she can do and does mission work there. I said, El Salvador, that's kind of dangerous. He said, yeah, it is. Imagine sending your daughter to a dangerous country alone. Yes, she's working with a missionary. I understand that. Doing the work of God there. I said, do you get nervous about that? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, but here's what I think. He says, she's doing God's work. He goes, and if in my eyes something bad happens, it was God's plan. I'm just going to trust Him. He goes, there's no better place for her to be than in God's will. There's no better place for you to be than in God's will. But that might take some changes. Go. Go where? In Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, he says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way. And it says this, sell whatsoever thou hast. Well, in verse 22, we are told that he had great possessions. Why would God tell him to get rid of his stuff? Did God need his money? Answer that. No, he did not. He did not need his money. So how do you know that? Because he's got Judas stealing his money. He doesn't need money. He can accomplish great things. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, it wasn't, I would like to turn the water into wine. Does anyone have $10? We need money to do that. No. Walking on water costs $0. If they did run out of money, he would just call a fish out of the water. Here's your coin. Go. No problem with money. So why was he telling him to sell his stuff? Because there are things in your life that come in between you and God. And there's things in your life that come in between you and God that need to get rid of before the Lord can ever use you. Look at Mark chapter 10 in verse 22. It says this, "For he had not just possessions, but great possessions." Maybe you walk around your house and you sit in the comforts of your home and you walk out through your barns and walk out on your land. And I'm not saying all that stuff is bad, but if it comes between you and God, and if you're telling God, "No, I can't serve you because I have all of this to maintain," then it's a problem. It's a big problem. It is your big problem. Is there something in your life that's hindering you from God using you? Maybe it's your stuff. Maybe it's your sin. Look at Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 8. This verse ought to strike fear in everyone's heart. Not using it for that, I'm just telling you the truth. Psalm 90 and verse 8 says, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee." And he says these words, not just our sins. What is that word in between our and sins? Ooh. So, you know, look at all my sin I'm getting away with. Nobody knows. And God says, "Your secret sin, it's in my light. In the light of my countenance." Our cat, you know about Trapper, he's a blessing. Well, Cat jumped on board and said, I'm gonna make you mad. So my cat got sick. Praise the Lord for that. Got an infection and couldn't maintain normal order. And so we kicked the dog out of his crate and put the cat in the crate. And Cat didn't like that and threw a little fit inside the crate. What a blessing. So I go downstairs and I'm looking at it because she couldn't be left alone in the house because she was having some trouble. So I go downstairs and look inside the crate. And our basement, we got maybe 6 or 7 lights down there, but there's certain areas in the full basement that's a little darker. You know what I'm saying? Creepy. At night, the kids don't want to do the laundry because, you know, there's things down there. So there we are, and Cat's in the dog crate. The dog's crate is about as big as this platform. It's huge. Like, it's enormous. We can fit all of our children in it. We're going to have to cut that. I don't find that. Mark that spot. So I come down, I look, and there's a cat, and she's over in the corner, and it's just a mess. It's like, oh, this is a mess. So I take the cat out gently, carefully, of course, placed her outside, come back down, and I'm like, oh, where do I begin? And then I did the awful thing of turning on my flashlight. It was significantly worse than what I had thought. Why? Because I shed some light on the subject. "No, God, I'm all good. Here, let's turn on the lights," he says. "What do you want me to do with that?" "I want you to sell it. I want you to get rid of it. Doesn't belong in your life. It's hindering you from coming and being used by me," he says. So this morning, are there secret sins in your life? Are there things that you think you are hiding from God, but yet are in perfect light of his countenance? Sure, maybe some of your stuff needs to go. But surely our sin needs to go. Maybe there's an attitude. Maybe there's an attitude of, we heard the value of being a servant this week, Thursday night, the importance of being a minister and a servant. Christ, our perfect example as a servant, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, washing the disciples' feet. Is there an attitude in your heart and in your mind that needs to be sold, that needs to be gone? Go. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. What does he say to do with it? Give to the poor. Have you given your all to the Lord? Let me ask you this question. What has the Lord held back from you? What has he not been to you? Look at Luke chapter 6. You'll be happy to know Maggie, our cat, has made full recovery and is now sleeping on our couch. For now. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. My daughter Sophie has really taken to baking, and I have really taken to eating her baked goods. And they're good. They're very good. My wife turned 40 yesterday, and we were excited about that and spent some time with family. And am I allowed to say that number?
No.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, she had a birthday yesterday. And so we had some family over. We made pulled pork shoulder that cooked literally 24 hours. Made some coleslaw nice. And my daughter made cookie bars. It was really cookie bars. They were all right. Not as good as cookies, but they were good. And in her baking, we have a section where she has a little recipe, and she has her little Sophie's 10. She does it herself. She mixes it all up. She knows how to do it. She could do it all herself, and it's nice. So she's got her little measuring things out there. There's certain you get a cup of flour and sugar that goes in, but then there's these little like tablespoons, smaller than a tablespoon, a teaspoon. And then we have one that is a quarter of a teaspoon. Ever see a quarter of a teaspoon? That's but a drop of nothing. I don't even know why you're putting a quarter of a teaspoon of anything in any order or any recipe. But some things call for a quarter of a teaspoon. So, you know what I think a lot of Christians have equipped in their pocket? A quarter teaspoon. Oh, sure, I'll be a blessing to you. Here's a quarter of a teaspoon. That's about 2 grains of salt. About. Maybe 3 grains of sugar. It is but a drop of vanilla. It is the small. And God said, and we're looking at God going, God, where's all the blessings at? I'm trying to serve you. It's the problem is you're walking around giving a quarter of a teaspoon. Where's unconditional love? Where's giving God's way? Because when I look at how God has distributed to me, the windows of heaven opened and he poured out blessings. Give. Give to the poor. Give to the needy. Give to everybody. Say, what am I supposed to give? How about the gospel? The results, the Bible says, Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Man, isn't it good to know that God is watching? He's taking notice. I love the during mission time and missions conferences. There's usually at least one or two little people that save their pennies all year, literally save their pennies all year. Put $1.57 in. Say, how do you know? Because the plate goes by. And God sees that. He says, oh man. Gabriel, did you see that? He's like, I heard it. Yeah. Mark it down. Mark it down. They're 6. Yeah. Do the compound interest thing. That's going to work out good for them. You can't give to the Lord's work and God miss it. You can't do right by God and He doesn't miss those things. Matthew chapter 6. Oh, this time of year, here we are shopping Amazon and we're looking at eBay and we're going to Kohl's and Target and Walmart trying to find the great gift that's probably going to be broken in 2 hours. Learned a long time ago, just give your kids empty boxes. That's what they like to play with. Wrapping paper rolls, right, Mrs. Wilson? I saw that. Those are fun. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. So how do I do that? God just keeps giving me stuff. What am I supposed to do? Empty the accounts. For moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Give to the work of God. So why would I do that? Because it gets logged for all of eternity. I'm not saying that you don't buy your kids presents. Ah, all teenagers took a sigh of relief. I'm not saying that you hold back from your kids. But you're going to want to invest in the work of the Lord. Go. Sell. Give. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19. We only have one service today. We got to get it all in this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Hey, what are you investing in that others may find eternal life? As we said already, Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What are you giving? When was the last time you gave the gospel? When was the last time you helped someone that was poor? You understand that the rewards in heaven are so much better than anything here. Back to Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And he says this, come. Come. I remember as a kid getting excited about birthday time. I say, why? Because you'd have a birthday party. And as 8 or 9 year old kid, way back in the day when I was a kid, the coolest place to have a birthday party, well, I thought was either Chuck E. Cheese or Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut was cool. You had the little red cups. Everyone got a slice of pizza. Had a good time. We have pictures of birthday parties at Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut used to be good. How'd they know to come? We gave him an invitation. Had a little invitation. Transformers invitation. G.I. Joe invitation. Come to Nick's birthday party. Bring gifts. Christ says, come. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what does he say? And I'll give you rest. Here Christ gives an invitation to this young man. I want you to go and I want you to go do these things and then I want you to come. Maybe you've lived your life for yourself for way too long and you know what it is? It's just time to come. Give up on your way. Give up on all that stuff. And why don't you just come to Christ? First step of salvation is just coming to Christ. Admitting that you need a Savior. As we heard this morning, the Bible tells us that there is no way that I could do enough to earn salvation. There's nothing I could do if I had $1 million. And I gave it to a very worthwhile cause. God's not going to go, "Whoa, that was great. Now we're letting them in for that." No, because I'm still a sinner. So come. Why was it so important to come to Christ? Because that is where we find forgiveness. Go to Christ because He is the only way for salvation. Say, how do I get that? Is it a gift? Can I buy it? How do I get that? It is simply believing in Jesus Christ, that His blood shed on the cross is enough to take away your sins. So how do I make that transfer? You just ask Him. Just ask Him. See, that's simple. Simple even a child could. Acknowledging your sin. Asking for forgiveness. Believing with all your heart. And there is the invitation. Tomorrow morning, many of you are going to report to work. Why? Because you've been invited. Now, I'm sure your boss doesn't call you every Monday and say, "Hey, I would like you to come back this week." It's a standing invitation. He'd probably, or she would probably, let you know if they don't want you to come back. But it is a standing, open invitation to come. And you get excited, and you, or maybe you're dreary. Monday morning comes, alarm clock goes off, you just stand in the shower hoping that it'll wake you up. It does not, so you progress with your morning. Reporting for a job. But there's no better thing than to report in front of Christ. Ready for service, Lord. Where would you have me to go? See, the devil doesn't want us to do these things. He wants us to stay doing our will, keeping our stuff, the things that block us from the Lord. But God says, "Why don't you give up all that and just come to me?" See, what happens when I get there? Well, He says, "Come, take up the cross." Now, we're familiar with the cross. It looks very similar to this. It would probably be significantly larger, though. It's got to be at least an arm span width, depending on the person. Because it was the place of crucifixion. Hands either nailed or tied to the cross. Feet tied to the cross. And God says that. Just help me timeline-wise. Mark chapter 10 is before or after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Before, but yet He's still telling us to take up our cross. Even before He was crucified. You think Christ knew what was going to happen? Oh yeah. Do you think He knew the significance of the burden that He was going to carry? Oh yeah. And yet He invites us to do that? Now, am I supposed to nail myself or tie myself to the cross and carry this thing around all day? No. But there are burdens that I'm called to carry. But isn't it good to know that He helps bear that burden? Can I ask you, what burden do you hold in your heart? What is it that you carry around every day? What is your cross? I'm not sure I have. He's invited us to take up our cross. Galatians 2:20 tells me that I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer my life, but I live for the Lord. Unfortunately, all too often we find crossless Christians with no burdens. Just living life, trying to get the most out of it as they could. Would you be willing to pick up your cross this morning and take it up? Lastly, Mark chapter 10 and verse 21 says this, "And come, take up the cross and follow me." So thankful that He leads us. Because I have no idea where I'm going. Look back 5 years ago in your life. What was your plan? Are you at that spot? No. Things went significantly different. I'm so glad I'm following someone that knows where he's going. It is so good to follow Christ. There is no comparison to following Christ. Gives me confidence. Gives me hope. Gives me joy. Gives me peace in following Christ. Say, oh, the life lived for the Lord. What a miserable life. All the things you're missing out on. I am thankful for the things I'm missing out on. It's a sad life outside of Christ. Maybe you've tried it. Maybe you've experienced it a little bit. But when Christ comes and He invites you to follow Him, can I encourage you to drop whatever it is that you're doing and run to Him? It is the greatest life ever. Say, that might send me to Alaska. Can I say we're not that far off? I mean, I look outside and it is... look at this. Did you forget? So how could you do this? How could you live there? Or He might send me to Africa. Or He might send me to my workplace. Or He might allow me to just serve here. Or He might, who knows? But know this, that it'll be better than whatever you could come up with. Would you give up and follow Him? I love where God comes to Abraham and He says, all right, I want you to move. He says, where are we moving to? I'll let you know when you get there. All right, sounds good. Pack it up. We're out of here. Look at Luke chapter 9. We're almost done. Luke chapter 9. Hey, if you've been on the fence about, do I get in on this thing of the Lord, or do I get out, or I don't know, is it worthwhile? Is this where I am telling you, get in, all in, as far in as you can get. Jump 2 feet in. I was having some medical stuff a little while ago. The doctor said, hey, the only thing you could possibly try is trying to go gluten-free. I said, tell me about that. They said, well, you're going to have to cut out all gluten. I said, what is that? Is that carbs? And he said, no, it's wheat. That's bread and pasta. I said, well, can I do like a little, like not bread and pasta and something else? Like, can I do partial? He's like, no, it's got to be all or nothing. Can I serve the Lord a little? No, it's got to be all or nothing. He doesn't do the marginal. He wants you to jump in all the way. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Is that not our last point? Follow me. Come, follow me. And this guy comes and he says, I want to follow you. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Just want to give you a heads up. You might have to give up some comforts. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You're going to have to leave your place of security. You're going to have to leave your plans. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go. Is that not us? We even come to the Lord. God, I want to follow you. He says, all right, let's go. He says, well, hold on. I got to do a couple things. I got to graduate college first. And then I got to get married, and then I want to have kids. We just want to have a house a little bit and settle in, pay off our debt, and then we'll follow you. Let me get my job first, and then let me, after I retire, I will serve you. And then you're going to be drinking Boost trying to figure out how to serve the Lord. Your life will be completely past. There will be no more time. Why? Because you just kept coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse why you can't follow God. There will always be something. It's always going to be too cold or too hot or too wet, too dry, too early, too late. There will always be an excuse why we can't. But there's way too many excuses of why we can. Because he's worth it. It's worth leaving our place of security. It's worth leaving our plans. It's even worth leaving the most precious people to us. Why? Because I know I'm going to spend eternity with them. But yet we just come up with excuse after excuse. Who am I supposed to follow? Last thought. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to stay in this area of the Bible. So you're not going to be turning much. We got three verses and then we're done. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2:10 says this. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's who we follow. That's who we serve. Jesus Christ, better than Moses, better than the law, better than angels, better than the high priest, better than Melchizedek, better than them all, Jesus Christ. That's who we follow. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21 says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. God wants you to follow him. He does not want you to lead him. It would be awfully strange if a sheep was in front of a shepherd. This way to danger. This way to catechisms and holes and dropped off issues. This way to no food. No, the shepherd leads the sheep. We follow his steps. Oh, I still remember years and years ago, Sereno boy coming talking about how literally walking in his dad Nick Sereno's steps and through the snow of Alaska. Now he's just trying to do the same thing in serving God. As we walk from our car to our house, and dad's big feet try and push the snow away. Little feet follow. Same way with Christ. Oh, I've paved the way. I know where we're going. Just step where I stepped. Follow me. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Last verse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. God, where are we going? Just follow me. I would like to know where I'm going to end up. You're not ready for that information. Just follow me. Step by step by step. Because along the way, he prepares us for what is next. And you need the next step, or the previous step, to be ready for the next step. Do you understand that God has been leading you all your life? When are you going to come? Take up your cross and follow him. When are you going to go? Sell all that you have. Say, really? What do you want me to live in, like a tent or a hut? No, I want you to give up on all your securities and come to Christ. You know with Christ there's no plan B. It's his way. And we can have confidence in that. It is the greatest way to live. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask you this morning this thought. Where are you going? Where are you going? If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Say, well, I hope I'd go to heaven. Do you know the Bible says that ye may know that ye have eternal life? If you were to die today, I know without a shadow of a doubt where I'd spend eternity. I'd spend it in heaven. So how do you know? Because God promised it. He promised it. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure, would you allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved? Saved.